think of our lives and the possible dangers that are in this world, and that God has protected us, that we have survived, and we've gathered together this day, then we must be thankful. And as we are thankful, let us listen to his voice, as well as the voice of our brother, Elder J. Mosher.
The title of the sermon that I have today is Love, Charity, and Truth. Today I was pleased in Sunday school because there were a few more people in Sunday school today than there have been in a few weeks past. To start with, today I want to read something that we very seldom read. And if you remember it, you may turn to it in your Book of Mormon. Everyone should be able to remember where it is and what it is when I begin to read. Be it known unto all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people, unto whom this work shall come, that we, through the grace of God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, have seen the place which contained this record, which is a record of the people of Nephi, and also of the Lamanites, their brethren, and also of the people of Jared, who came from the tower which hath been spoken. And we also know that they have been translated by the gift and power of God, for his voice hath declared it unto us. Wherefore we know of a surety that the work is true. And we also testify that we have seen the engravings which are upon the plates, and that we have been shown, that they have been shown unto us by the power of God and not of man. And we declare with words of soberness that an angel of God came down from heaven and brought and laid before our eyes, that we beheld and saw the plates and the engravings thereon, and we know that it is by the grace of God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ that we beheld and bear record that these things are true. And it is marvelous in our eyes, nevertheless the voice of the Lord commanded us that we should bear record of it. Wherefore, to be obedient unto the commandments of God, we bear testimony of these things, and we know that if we are faithful in Christ, we shall rid our garments of the blood of all men, and be found spotless before the judgment seat of Christ, and shall dwell with him eternally in the heavens. And the honor be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, which is one God. Amen. Be it known unto all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people, unto whom this work shall come, that Joseph Smith, Jr., the translator of this work, has shown unto us the plates of which hath been spoken, which have the appearance of gold, and as many of the leaves as the said Smith has translated, we did handle with our hands, and we also saw the engravings thereon, all of which has the appearance of ancient work and of curious workmanship. And this we bear record with the words of soberness that the said Smith has shown unto us, for we have seen and hefted and know of a surety that the said Smith has got the plates of which we have spoken. And we give our names unto the world to witness unto the world that which we have seen, and we lie not, God bearing witness of it. When was the last time you read that? I venture to say, for most of us, it has been a while that we have read that. I would that the Church of Christ would rise out of obscurity, and I would that this local would rise up. But I fear, unless this local should waste away and die, the gospel shall not. And I am convinced that the Church of Christ shall be here tomorrow and the day after and the day after. But I must confess to you that this local might possibly not be here unless we can commit ourselves again to the truth and make a covenant. To preserve this sanctuary, to love our brothers and sisters, yesterday I was ashamed of you. Counted on my hands no more than I think 25 people total, and none of them in one place at one time, to come and support the marriage of two people who are endeavoring to try and keep the commandments of God. I declare with the sureness in my soul that this local hangs in the balance. Perhaps there are many reasons, too innumerable to mention. Perhaps some cannot be helped. We've had a tough year. I've had a tough year. We've had trials this year. There is a relationship between joy and love, which is charity, and the truth. There is a distinct relationship. They are intertwined. The truth and joy. Today, I said my title was Love, Charity, and Truth, but it comes down to the joy of our worship together. I'd like to read from John, the 8th chapter. Read the 12th verse and then skip to the 30th verse of the 8th chapter of John. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And he spoke these words. As he spoke these words, many believed on him, and he had just finished a discourse about himself and about light and about his Father. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you read on, you will see that the truth has to do with indeed following Christ and keeping his commandments, and that by doing that we become free from sin. Out there on Bell Road, and on Union Hills, and on Indian School and Camelback, and on 16th Street, and on every street that you travel, there is a world of indulgence. Cable television today has offered people anything you want in this world is offered on cable television. You can get G-movies, all the G-movies that you can possibly stand will be on cable television, and you can get all of the X-rated movies you can possibly stand. Anything you want is offered to us in this day that we live in, and nothing is withheld from us. It is at your fingertips. Everything that we want is at our fingertips. But that freedom of spirit and peace of mind, to support this idea, I'm going to read from the Book of Mormon, this idea that truth is synonymous with freedom and peace of mind. I'm going to read a few verses from the second book of Nephi in the sixth chapter, beginning with verse 78. On page 110. I know that the words of truth are hard against all uncleanness, but the righteous fear them not, for they love the truth and are not shaken. They are not shaken. O then, my beloved brethren, come unto the Lord, the Holy One. Remember that his paths are righteousness. Behold, the way for man is narrow, but it lieth in a straight course before him, and the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel. And he employeth no servant there, and there is none other way, save it be by the gate. For he cannot be deceived, for the Lord God is his name. And whoso knocketh to him will he open. And the wise and the learned and they that are rich, who are puffed up because of their learning and their wisdom and their riches, yea, they are they which he despiseth, and say they shall cast these things away, and consider themselves fools before God, and come down in the depths of humility, he will not open unto them. But the things of the wise and the prudent shall be hid from them forever, yea, the happiness which is prepared for the saints. Happiness by following the truth. I want to read a dream. You've all heard our brother Leon read this dream and relate this dream at various times. I'm going to read it again. He gave this to me and to several others at the last August Master's Conference. And I'm sad to say I do not know how much longer brother Leon will be with us. Before I read it, I remember very vividly when I was a boy growing up. I remember very vividly. Why it was, brothers and sisters, that I loved the Church of Christ and that I loved the gospel of Christ. Why it was that I believed it and still believe it to this day. It was because of one of God's servants and his beloved wife. And because of the influence that I saw that the gospel had in my mother's life and my grandmother's life and others, but primarily one of the strong things that impressed me so was the love of a certain man by the name of Leon Yates. And I do not lift Leon Yates up, but I lift up the love that he had. It impressed me so greatly when I was growing up that I felt that wherever the Church of Christ was, that I was welcome. That I could come in and partake of the beauty and the joy of the gospel. Brothers and sisters, have we become a lesser people? I know no one in my mind that is firmer in the gospel and can sticks to his beliefs more so than Brother Leon. And yet sometimes we are offended by people who stick to their beliefs. But because he carried the Spirit of God with him, and does to this day, can we do any less? Can we be any less than those men who are still alive? Can we be any less than to be filled with love and compassion for one another? In the year of 1941, while living in Phoenix, Arizona, on one occasion, there was a prayer service in my home. Shortly before this time, some members of the Church of Christ had separated from the church and had formed another faction. One young man who had left with that group was in Phoenix and had attended the above-mentioned service, and he was trying to persuade our Phoenix members they should leave the Church of Christ and go with those who had broken away. After the service, and all had departed or retired for the night, and just before daylight the following morning, I had this dream. I was traveling in a car with the young man who had left the church. We were traveling east on a fairly good dirt road through heavy timber. As we traveled, the road sloped gently upward. We traveled until we reached the top of the ridge. At this point, there was a ridge that sloped gently downward to the left, or to the north, and it sloped upward to our right, or to the south. The main road turned north or downward, but there was a dim, rough trail leading upward, or to the south on the right. My friend was driving, and he turned the car to the left in the main road that went downhill. When he did this, I said, "This is not the right way," He said, yes, it is. I said, you know that we want to reach the top of the mountain, and the road that we are now on will lead us to the valley floor. Then I asked him, didn't you see the little trail that turned to the right and leads up to the mountaintop? That is the way we must go. He said, no, this road will take us where we want to go. I asked him to let me out of the car and wait for me, that I would walk up the trail and see if it did not go to the top of the mountain. At first, the trail was easy to travel. It then became very difficult, and soon there was vapor drifting across the trail, and I could see only one or two steps ahead. I proceeded, and at each step I would take, the vapor would move back, and I could see a few more feet of the trail, so that I could walk in safety. Soon I came to a sign that gave the name of the trail. On the sign were these words, the Church of Christ. At one time the vapor cleared enough that I could see that the trail led up to the very peak of the mountain. In my dream, I seemed to have the knowledge that the mountaintop was the goal for which all mankind must strive to attain. I returned to the car and told my friend what I had seen. He said, you are wrong. Come with me. I will show you that this road is the only way we can reach the mountaintop. We continued our journey. We traveled down the road away from the mountain until we reached the valley floor. The road then turned right back to the same direction from which we had come, except that it went along the base of the ridge of the valley floor. Soon we arrived at a point on the valley floor that was directly at the base of the great mountain. As we looked up the great steep slope of the mountain, we could see tracks and scars on the face of the mountain, evidence of countless numbers of people having tried to reach the mountain peak from this approach. I told my friend again that he could not make it this way. He said again, this is the way. He began to drive up the steep slope and continued until the car would go no further because of the steepness of the mountain. The car stalled. He set the brakes and got out to get a rock to put behind the wheel. The rock rolled against him and wounded him severely. As I looked up the mountain, I saw a great cement highway on the side of the mountain. The highway stood out from the side of the mountain, similar to a flat board, with one edge against a wall with no visible support underneath. This highway extended upward along the side of the sloping ridge, beginning at the point where the road had turned back at the valley floor toward the base of the mountain. The highway sloped upward from this point until it reached the mountain peak. But before it reached the peak, there was a place where the highway had been broken off. If one could reach this point on that ancient highway, he could go no further and would be unable to reach the peak by that highway. I said to my friend, can you see that no one has ever climbed to that peak by going up the mountain on this side, and no one has made it by that ancient highway since it has been broken off? I further said to him, can't you see that only by the little dim trail can one now reach the mountain peak? He said, your eyes are better than mine. Again I looked up to the top of the mountain, and there in the sky above the peak, I saw the number 2,000 written in gigantic numbers of flaming fire. Now our brother admits and has told me personally that the number really is only significant of the era that we live in. 2,000. But you know, it isn't very many years until the year 2000, and time is short. And I wonder, and I hope and I pray, that this little group of people sitting here before me will rise to the occasion to keep this little Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona alive. and it shall not be an easy road, and we shall not be able to see far in front of us. Again, let us go to the second book of Nephi, and I'd like to read about a man who was happy. 2 Nephi, the 15th chapter, beginning with the 7th verse. These are the words of a dying man. Page 165, verse 7. I glory in plainness. I glory in truth. I glory in my Jesus, for he hath redeemed my soul from hell. I have charity for my people and great faith in Christ, that I shall meet many souls spotless at his judgment seat. I have charity for the Jew. I say Jew because I mean them from whence I came, and I also have charity for the Gentiles. But for none of these can I hope, except they shall be reconciled unto Christ and enter in into the narrow gate and walk in the straight path which leads to life and continue in the path until the end of the day of probation. I read that because it has a little something to do with the dream that I read, and because this man was making a joyous statement. It was a statement about happiness. And he was glorying in plainness, and he was glorying in truth. And you'll notice that coupled with this is his charity, his love for all mankind, for Jew and Gentile. Alma, the 3rd chapter, verses 79. I would hope today that you would endure with me. I know that today that I have a message from God, and I pray that you will endure with me. Page 318, verse 79. Behold, I have fasted and prayed many days. That I might know these things of myself. And now I do know of myself that they are true, for the Lord God hath made them manifest unto me by the Holy Spirit, and this is the Spirit of revelation which is in me. And moreover I say unto you, that as it has thus been revealed unto me, that the words which have been spoken by our fathers are true, even so according to the Spirit of prophecy which is in me, which is also by the manifestation of the Spirit of God, I say unto you, that I know of myself, that whatsoever I shall say unto you concerning that which is to come is true, I say unto you that I know that Jesus Christ shall come, yea, the Son, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and mercy and truth. And behold, it is he that cometh to take away the sins of the world, yea, the sins of every man who steadfastly believeth on his name. Now I say that this is the order after which I am called, yea, to preach unto my brethren, yea, and every one that dwelleth in the land, yea, to preach unto all, both old and young, both bond and free. Yea, I say unto you, the aged, and also the middle-aged, and the rising generation, yea, to cry unto them that they must repent and be born again. Yea, thus saith the Spirit, repent, all ye ends of the earth, for the kingdom of heaven is soon at hand. Yea, the Son of God cometh in his glory, in his might, majesty, power, and dominion. You know, I wish, and I have prayed, that someday God might loose my tongue in such a way and fashion that I could declare that in its proper way. But in what other day and time has this ever been more true than God is coming? And be ready. And when he comes this time, as it's stated here in the 84th verse, that he was coming to take away the sins of the world. He has already come to take away the sins of the world. And he's not coming to take away the sins of the world again. He's coming to judge the world. But you and I are not supposed to be fearful of these things to come. We are not supposed to be in fear. I'd like to read from Moroni in the 8th chapter, one verse. Behold, I speak with boldness. This is on page 770, verse 18. Behold, I speak with boldness, having authority from God, and I fear not what man can do. For perfect love casteth out all fear, and I am filled with charity, which is everlasting love. And I wonder, in my mind, and I wonder if the Phoenix Local is filled with this everlasting love. And filled. Everlasting, that has a connotation to it, something that doesn't just fade away. He talked about here, he's talking about his love for little children, his love for those who are without the law. Everlasting love. To support this idea again, if you will look in 1 John in your Bibles, you will find this same thought is brought out. 1 John, the 4th chapter, verses 16, beginning there. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, as we sang in a song. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And we're living, brothers and sisters, in a day of judgment. But this day of judgment is a day which is to come. The day of judgment. And this is how we are made perfect in the day and the hour that we live in, is by being bold in our love, in our compassion, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And if you go on, you'll read that the scripture says that a man must love his brother, and must love his brother. Covenants were something that in the Bible times, and in the Book of Mormon, covenants were things that people entered into. It wasn't uncommon for people to enter into covenants. I'm going to make a very bold statement because I believe it with all my heart. It has been witnessed to by others. When our Apostle McAndrew stood before us and said the Spirit had told him and made it known unto him that unless this people made a covenant with one another, that they would drift away one by one. Behold, the Word of God has come among us, and we are drifting away to this very hour. Perhaps it would have been better if he would have come and said, thus saith the Lord, unless this people make a covenant with one another in love and compassion towards one another,
You shall all drift away in by and forbidden paths. It is the truth. And our covenants are not to one another. Our covenants are to our own personal, private lives. We have not supported this local in the manner that we should. And we are dying one by one.
Page 20 of your Book of Mormon. A brief excerpt from an account of the Tree of Life. Beginning with verse 44, "And it came to pass that I saw a man, and he was dressed in a white robe, and he came and stood before me. And it came to pass that he spake unto me and bade me follow him." This is very important, this next verse. It's not here. Every word and every phrase of this is important. "And it came to pass that as I followed him, I beheld myself that I was in a dark and a dreary waste." That's a key to life eternal. That phrase, we must see ourselves for what we are. We must see ourselves in this world for what it is, a dark and a dreary waste. "And after I had traveled for the space of many hours, in darkness I began to pray unto the Lord, that he would have mercy on me according to the multitude of his tender mercies. And it came to pass, after I had prayed unto the Lord, that I beheld a large and spacious field. And it came to pass that I beheld a tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy." This gospel was meant to be one of happiness and joy. And the truth brings happiness and joy. "And it came to pass that I did go forth and partake of the fruit thereof, and I beheld that it was most sweet above all that I had ever tasted. Yea, and I beheld that the fruit thereof was white, and to exceed all the whiteness that I had ever seen. And as I partook of the fruit thereof, it filled my soul with exceeding great joy." life as trials, and sometimes we want our trials to be taken away from us. This is speaking and pertaining to spiritual things, and it is not pertaining to the things of the world and to our temporal things. It is pertaining to spiritual things, and they are over and above every temporal thing that there is. I read a book one time about Noah's Ark, and the thesis, of course, was that Noah's Ark was something that existed, and they were in search for this. But you know, the thing that sticks out in my mind about that entire book was one paragraph about the Armenian people, or about, it wasn't even about the Armenians, it was about a certain tribe of people that lived to where these expeditions would go out, and they would go up to this mountain. You know what it was? They made the statement that those people could not be defeated. Yet they were killed, they had no power, but someone else made the statement about them. They could not be defeated, because to them it didn't make any difference. If they were killed, if they were persecuted, if they were afflicted in any manner, it made no difference. And that kind of people cannot be defeated. There is no trial that can come upon that kind of people that can defeat them. Exceeding great joy by partaking of this spiritual food. And now if you will skip over to the third chapter, we will read of Nephi's account of this same dream. Nephi himself had asked to have this made known to him, and this is what happened. And again, every word means something, because it was the angel that was showing this and showing various stages of this. There's the Spirit of God that showed this to these men. Page 28, verse 63. Knowest thou the meaning of the tree which thy father saw? Now, this was the angel. It's no mistake where he puts this. It's no mistake where he asks this question. And I answered him, saying, yes, it is the love of God, which sheddeth itself abroad in the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore it is the most desirable of all things. And he spake unto me, saying, yea, and the most joyous to the soul. And after he had said these words, he said unto me, look! And I looked, and I beheld the Son of God going forth among the children of men. The love of God. And I saw many fall down at his feet and worship him. And it came to pass that I beheld the rod of iron which my father had seen was the word of God which led to the fountain of living waters, or to the tree of life, which waters are a representation of the love of God. And you remember, this is goes along with what Christ said when he was in his ministry on the other continent, when the woman came to him at the well and he asked her to dip, to get him a drink of water. And he said, "Woman, if you had known who I was, you would have asked of me and I would have given you." Water. Cool, cleansing, purifying water. And joy. That is what why we are here. And I also beheld that the tree of life was representation of the love of God. And the angel said unto me again, "Look, and behold the condescension of God." Brothers and sisters, you will notice as well that the Word of God runs along this river to the tree of life. The truth is synonymous and is intermingled with joy. And there is a big difference between joy and happiness, or between joy and I stated before that this world is a place where you can indulge in absolutely anything that you want. Anything is available. And you know, I know men down at work and they smile and they smile when they talk about their indulgences. Smiling is not necessarily always a sign of joy. Joy is something far greater than indulgence. Is this idea, this concept of the tree of life, is it valid? It's in the Book of Mormon. I'd like to read a verse of scripture from Revelations in the second chapter, beginning with the first verse. And as I read this, I have to admit that it almost seemed applicable to this very hour. "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them who are evil. I'm going to stop there and make a comment. Doesn't that seem applicable? Haven't we had work this year and labor in our souls and tried in many, many instances to do what we felt is right? And we have a hard time being able to bear evil. And, another thought, thou hast tried them who say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars." Somehow, brothers and sisters, it seems applicable. "And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted." You'll think, you can probably think of laboring one way, one fashion or another in the past, in the recent times. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Perhaps forgotten, the vision in our spiritual eye of the tree of life and the river of cool water. Remember, therefore, from where thou art fallen, and repent. Do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hast hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, and I meant to look that up, and I didn't look it up, and I'm sorry that I didn't, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And I say that the tree of life is a concept that is throughout the scriptures, both Bible and the Book of Mormon. You'll have to forgive me. I'm still in the process of getting over a head cold, and my emotions aren't helping me. But I would like to read in closing. I was going to read other verses of Scripture, but I feel that the message that I have had upon my heart has been borne to you. But I want to read something just to show you that people did enter into covenants. They covenanted with one another. In Nehemiah, in the Old Testament, in the 9th chapter, beginning with the first verse, Nehemiah is between Esther and Ezra, kind of sandwiched in there. Now on the 24th day of this month, in the 9th chapter, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and in sackcloth and with earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and their iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord, their God, 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord, their God. And if you will skip with me to the last verse of that chapter, verse 38, and because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it, and our princes, Levites, and priests set their seal to it. And then it lists the signatures and the names of the tribes and the individuals in the 10th chapter. In the 28th verse, it says, and the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinim, and all them, and all they who had separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding. And they did cleave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe, to do all the commandments of the Lord our God, and his statutes, so on and so forth. That also, that idea of entering into a covenant, we have entered into a covenant by entering the waters of baptism. Most assuredly, a covenant. And the covenant is to keep God's law. And I think, and I believe, to support the local church. And I know that in this world we live in, that the church is not is considered to be all Christians. But you and I have a particular mission in mind. And I read that at the very beginning. I'm sure most of you knew where it was. The testimony of the three witnesses and the testimony of the eight others. And we must bear that testimony about the Book of Mormon and the plates that were given to Joseph Smith. And unless you awaken the covenant that you have made with God in the waters of baptism and begin to support this local congregation by your presence, by sacrifice. We live in a day when we have to sacrifice. We also live in a day when churches are going the way of indulgence. Indulgences in things that they claim to be spiritual, well, brothers and sisters, I think they're physical. And they're temporal. And they're sensual. But they claim that they are spiritual. And they awaken the emotions and the senses of people. But we have to live in a day of sacrifice, or this local will fade away. Sacrifice. With time, and you know, I hate to mention it, but this local operates upon the donations of its members. And last year, I'm not asking for money. You know, I think it's a little bit different when the Church of Christ lets people know that they have a financial responsibility, because the money that we give does not go to support some rich preacher. That isn't where it goes. It goes for one simple thing: to support the work of the gospel. And last year, we had a $450 a month light bill. We live in a day when we must account for everything that we do, our time and our money and our spiritual, our devotionals that we have with one another should have something in mind, and that is a greater devotional to the restored gospel. We have to be devoted to it. And that is how this little Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona will go forth and be resupported in the bond of a covenant of love. Perhaps that will be the greatest challenge that we have ever faced, is to be able to overcome our little idiosyncrasies and problems that we have with personalities. And to keep our covenant alive. Thank you.